Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it is Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And today's book is The Israel Test, How Israel's Genius Enriches and Challenges the World. Our author, back in 1986, Reagan presented our author, George Gilder, with the White House Award for Entrepreneurial Excellence. He's a founding fellow of the Discovery Institute in Seattle, contributing editor to Forbes, and writes frequently for the Wall Street Journal, Wired, National Review, and the American Spectator. I appreciate you being with us. And of course, there's over the past almost a year ago, those attacks took place on Israel and the ongoing struggles that they are dealing with. So very timely. And I want to ask, before we really get into the book itself, there just a sustained hatred for Israel as a country. It seems as if it's that one country that the hatred for it never goes away. What is it that's unique about Israel that makes that such a sustained hatred?
It's a phenomenal success. I mean, it's Israel now has a higher per capita income than Germany, while enduring six invasions from its neighbors over the last 50 years or so. Israel has passed Japan, Germany, the United Kingdom, China, South Korea in per capita income. It's the genius of the Jews, which is manifest all around the world, and always arouses resentment from people who imagine the world is a zero-sum game, who imagine that material resources are limited, and if one person gets more, somebody else gets less. It's the great crippling delusion that also affects the overseas Chinese. You know, the overseas Chinese, these are settlements of Chinese all over Asia, also outperform the local citizens in intellect, achievement, wealth, and have undergone pogroms as formidable as the ones endured by the Jews in Europe. And indeed, Thomas Sowell says that the Jews might well be called the overseas Chinese of Europe.
I think that a lot of times, particularly in the States, and I don't know if it's the same in Europe as well. I know that I grew up in an era where there was a great deal of focus on poverty in Africa. And there was just, I think oftentimes it was believed, well, it was a resources issue. Same thing with the Middle East. And we think oftentimes stereotypical, well, there aren't many resources there. So there aren't the opportunities for these countries to lift themselves out of poverty. And then there is Israel right there, and it clearly is so different, and that I think is probably mystifying to people. As you noted, perhaps they believe in this zero-sum scenario and blame Israel for somehow robbing the massive geographic region of all of these resources. Of course, that is not the case. How is the difference explained when you have a people on such a relatively small piece of land surrounded by this vast area in which the people seemingly are in either unwilling or incapable to advance themselves the same way Israel has? What's the difference there?
It's liberty. And Israel almost destroyed itself. In the mid-1980s, Israel was approaching an inflation rate of 1,000% and was on the verge of going bust. The whole Israel experiment was about to fail. But then led really by Bibi Netanyahu with his training at the Boston Consulting Group and its pro-capitalist insights and entrepreneurial guidance, led Israel to become Startup Nation and the world's single most crucial source of technology. I mean, we imagine that Israel is somehow dependent on us, but we're just as dependent on Israel. I mean, there are 100,000 Israeli citizens in Silicon Valley. They populate all our most valuable companies. They're critical to American success. And I gave President Reagan his first microchip way back in the day, 1985, when he was contemplating the Strategic Defense Initiative. And I said, this microchips, I showed him a Micron DRAM, that's a memory chip. And I said, this technology was going to transform the world, and it would make possible to have missile defense, defense against incoming intercontinental missiles. But the U.S. never really deployed it. But the Israelis did. They have Iron Dome. They have David Sling. They have Arrow 3 intercontinental interceptors. They have now they have Iron Beam, which when it's perfected will allow you to zap away incoming missiles with laser beams at the speed of light. So if you really focus on human creativity in the image of your creator, you understand that we don't live in a limited universe. We live in an infinite universe, which is bounded only by the limits of human creativity and imagination.
We are talking with George Gilder, our author of the week. The book is The Israel Test, How Israel's Genius Enriches and Challenges the World. I'm curious, I don't want to get too far off the beaten path, but your reference to the mid-80s where Israel almost destroyed itself until Netanyahu came along and guided them out of that, economically speaking. What was it that they were doing that led them to that point?
Socialism.
Yeah.
Israel's founders were largely socialists. They were influenced by Marxism, and the kibbutzim were supposedly ideals, societies that overcame human greed and allowed cooperative societies, and it's not, this has been the great delusion. And it's the great delusion of the world, because people are not equal. People are equal in the eyes of God, but people are not equal in the ability to produce wealth, to invent new technologies, new goods and services, and to lead prosperous economies. It's been true. We've always been, in the 20th century onward, Jews have really led the world in creativity and accomplishment. And societies that evict their Jews fail. The Manhattan Project won the Second World War for the West. We accepted the Jewish scientists from Europe and mobilized them to create the atomic bomb. And without that success, we wouldn't have won the Second World War. It would have been really inconclusive, protracted, kind of like, it's just a fact of life and of capitalism that we're dependent on a small minority of incredibly creative people. And an amazing proportion of them are Jewish. When you realize Jews are 0.02% of the world's population and five of the top 10 richest companies in the world were started by Jews. And it's just a fact of life that people don't want to recognize, and that Jews themselves don't want to publicize out of some sort of sense that if people really understand how successful they are, they'll be more vulnerable.
Well, and it is interesting because those successes are demonized. It translates, yep, or it's presented as the Jews, quote, controlling everything, instead of seeing it as a tremendous success and looking to it as an opportunity to learn from others. Why do you think that there is such a disproportionately concentrated quality of success within the Jewish community?
Well,
Israel specifically.
Israel and around the world. The Silicon Valley has 100,000 Israelis. Our economy is dependent upon Israel as Israel's is on us. But the reasons are partly that Jews have been forced over the centuries to focus on mind, on creativity, on imagination. They haven't owned much land. They haven't commanded what are called material resources. They've always been forced to invent in order to survive. And that faculty that has been honed over the ages and now is being generated in Israel under the threat of wars of destruction, have unleashed this incredible feat of the Israeli economy.
And then finally, you had mentioned, well, referenced it a couple of different times, the reliance factor, and I think we probably think of Israel relying on us more than we rely on them. Much of that is just because of a lack of understanding the geographic footprint we have compared to them. And it seems as if, particularly over the last year, that it's oftentimes a conversation about how Israel needs the United States for, whether it's funding or help militarily speaking. But you had mentioned and you predict in the book that if Israel's destroyed, that capitalist Europe will likely die as well, and that the United States will be in grave moral and economic jeopardy. Why is that?
Because it will mean that we succumb to this view of the world as a zero-sum game where the successes of some people come at the expense of others, and we'll adopt we'll give up the freedoms that are indispensable to supporting our population. The rise of capitalism in the mid-19th century, the world's population has increased from under a billion to now over 8 billion. And this has been made possible largely through innovations that happened in Israel, as I explain in my book, The Israel Test, how Israel's genius enriches and challenges the world. Israel invented and perfected most of the best desalinization plants. You know, Israel has solved the world's water problem already. You know, the world is supposed to be running out of water, but Israel, during its years of increasing their production of goods and services 16-fold, have reduced their consumption of water by 10%. That is, they use less water per capita today than they did when their economy was 1/16 the size. They've essentially solved the water problem, and the food, they sell flowers, cut flowers in Europe, and they're incredibly efficient in their agricultural pursuits, and now they're extending their lead to medical services and even new material science, the science of graphene, which is the great new material that's going to transform electronics. It's a single layer of carbon atoms, 100 times stronger than steel, 1,000 times more conductive than copper, and allows terahertz, trillions of hertz per second of switching capability. It's just an amazing new material, and Israel is in the world lead, and with companies pioneering graphene. So it's the power of the freedom plus creativity in the image of your creator.
The book is The Israel Test, How Israel's Genius Enriches and Challenges the World. The author, again, thank you, George Gilder, for being with us this morning. Our Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. I'm Nick Reed.